You are listening to the Punk News Podcast bonus episode, the Record Store Day Reflection episode, podcast episode 545.5 with a special guest, and we'll be right back. Podcast. First of all, we are here with longtime commenter, longtime editor, longtime glue of punk news, Sam Barrett. Sam Barrett, today we are going to discuss Record Store Day and our Record Store Day's adventure. Sam, did you have fun on Record Store Day?
It's a holiday. Of course I had fun not sleeping and getting up early and waiting on a line with a lot of people while in COVID with a lot of people with no masks.
How is like the mask and COVID situation in Brooklyn? You live in Brooklyn, right, Sam? Brooklyn?
Yeah, I live in Brooklyn. It's weird. I live in a weird spot where there's a lot of people with no mask out right now, which is fine if you're vaccinated, but you know, I kind of don't trust humans, so I'm still wearing a mask because I don't trust anyone.
Good policy, not trusting humans. I agree. But we are also here. We've got a long time Punk News Podcast favorite. We've got someone returning after, I don't know, maybe, well, he was here on episode 500. We are here with Ricky Frankel, Punk News Podcast veteran. Ricky Frankel, what's happening?
Guys, it's so great to be back. Like I said before we started recording, and I think longtime listeners know that this is one of, aside from end of the year list, this is one of my favorite episodes to do. Thank you so much for inviting me back on.
Well, we had to have Ricky on because when we're talking records, we're talking Ricky, a man who possibly rivaled Sam and myself's dedication to that black wax, or that wax, I guess, because Sam and Ricky like color vinyl, where I like strictly black. Once you go black, you never go back with records. Okay, so listen, while I am throwing this podcast already.
Are we loopy again?
I'm loopy over records. I love records.
Nothing's changed.
You know, we're each going to talk about our, I guess, individual adventures in Record Store Day. But I will say, myself, and it seemed that people that I ran into Record Store Day, most people seem to feel that this Record Store Day, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, extremely awesome stuff, just a lot of kind of cool stuff. Ricky, did you agree? Or did you think this Record Store Day was lacking? Or what was your perspective on the au revoir as a whole?
I think overall, I mean, when it comes to Record Store Day for me, I always go for quality over quantity, so I never get a ton of stuff. This list wasn't the best of the year. I think last year, even though it was all online, I only got one thing, but there's still a few cool things. But 2019, there was some good stuff. 2018, there were really good stuff on those lists. But this year, when they started doing these, you know, splitting it into 2 days, I just knew this was going to happen at some point if they kept doing this. They'd split my list up and it just wouldn't be worth going one day and then like the next day or whenever it would be going worth going to it. So that's what happened to me this year. In terms of like the list though, I mean, this year I had like a total of 5 things that I wanted, but then, you know, of course the Cro-Mags thing is up in the air.
Oh yeah. So, you were going after that?
I was. Yeah. And that was on the July list. So I don't even know what to do about that.
We should talk about that a little bit, even though we talked about it on the podcast, because there's been developments. So let's talk to Sam, then we'll talk about the Cro-Mags info, which there was an update today. Sam Barrett, overall, the list, were you psyched, were you pumped, or were you like, meh, it's cool, or were you like, this sucks?
It's, like, I'm with Ricky on the splitting of the list thing. It's pretty much meh. You know, like, originally, when I was doing Record Store Day many, many moons ago, you know, we would get so stoked to, like, wake up too freaking early in the damn fucking morning to wait in the damn line, you know, but it's just a part of the experience of, you know, getting what you want, right, for an overpriced amount of money. This list was, there really was, like, only a handful of things that I want, actually only one thing that I wanted, but, you know, like, with COVID and everything, I wanted to be, like, make sure I was in a store, at least supporting them, buying something, you know, that's, like, my main focus, on top of the fact that I'm generally just stoked because Record Store Day, to me, is a holiday. It's one of the best fake holidays ever, you know? I kind of want them to just do, you know, one Record Store Day, and there's five things I want again.
I will slightly disagree in that for 2020, when they had three, I actually thought it was, like, if you added up all the things from all four days, because Black Friday, too, last year, I think it was the best year for Record Store Day by far. I thought so much cool stuff came out in 2020. I'm still rocking a lot of that stuff, especially, like, the Alice Cooper stuff, the Rolling Stones stuff that came out, the Dave Bowie stuff? Yeah, some Dave Bowie stuff came out. A lot of really, really cool stuff. Maybe not a ton of punk. This time around, I thought there was some cool stuff, some interesting stuff. There wasn't anything that I had to absolutely have, except for maybe with one exception. But even that, I didn't have to have that, if only because, and this is a good thing, 3, 4, 10 years ago, definitely, if you didn't get it at Record Store Day, you're not going to get it unless you want to spend $150 for it. Not everything, but now almost everything. If you don't get a Record Store Day, you can get off Discogs for just about the price. You know what I mean? Not everything, but I thought it was cool, not great. But before we talk about our individual adventures, there's been this saga of the Cro-Mags record, which actually Ricky helped propagate and actually might have even gotten Harley Flanagan to take action. I'm going to recap very quickly. Surprisingly, Age of Quarrel was originally on the Record Store Day list for 2 days ago. That's very surprising because it was put out by Rock Hotel / Profile, which was sold to Arista, which is now owned by Sony. The problem is ever since that record came out, no one really knows who owns it, and several parties have each claimed they own it, or they've claimed other parties did own it. Harley has said no one else has the rights to put it out but him. John Joseph said the same thing. Paris said the same thing. The record label said, no, we do have the right to put it out. The other three guys said, no, you don't have the right to put it out. And each of them have actually released their own copies. John Joseph released a copy through Mightier Than the Sword. Beefane Over Records, I think, is Harley, but I think that's Paris. But there's a whole bunch of not bootlegs, but perhaps put out without authorization, because it is very unclear who owns that record. And so because that record is in such dispute, and because all three of the main Cro-Mags, Harley, John, and Paris, they hate each other. They hate each other so much that briefly there was three bands calling themselves Cro-Mags.
Oh my God.
They hate each other. Now Harley is the Cro-Mags, and there are no other Cro-Mags. They hate each other. And so it was very surprising to see this record on the Record Store Day list, because like if you're a record label and a record has that much hotness around it, you're like, it's not worth a headache. I'm just not going to put it out. I'm going to find something else to put it out. And I would guess that Sony, no one knows who put out this one, although Harley might know, and we'll talk about that in a second, but no one knows who put it out, and so it's this weird record. Anyways, so our original list pointed that it was coming out, and then I don't know if Harley saw that, or anyways, Harley said, none of the Cro-Mags get paid. I'm going to try to get the record back, and so the original Cro-Mags do get paid. And he sort of implied that even though he's not getting along with John Joseph in Paris, he's willing to get them paid from the record. That's what he implied. Then Ricky pointed out that it was taken off the Record Store Day list after Harley put out his announcement. And so he made a news post out of that, and Harley like retweeted that and posted that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Oh, I didn't know that part. Holy shit. Hi, and, like, Harley.
Like Harley said something like, for those of you not in the know, I'm taking action to get this record back. Read this article, you know, which was cool.
Whoa.
You know?
Okay.
And so anyways, so it seemed like it wasn't going to come out. One of the Punk News readers pointed out, well, this is only like 3 weeks before Record Store Day. So that implies that there's a whole bunch of copies sitting around in a warehouse somewhere, because Record Store Day records are pressed like 6 months in advance, not 3 weeks in advance, you know. So it's like, well, where are all these records? Then on Record Store Day, I went to 1, 2, 3, 4 participating shops. I didn't see it in any of them. And go ahead, Ricky.
Well, John, that's because it's on the July list.
It is?
Yeah.
I don't think so, Ricky.
I'm looking at my Amoeba lists right now. It's on the July list. It comes out July 17th, 2021.
Wait. What list are you looking at now?
I'm looking at the Amoeba puts out their own menus based on the Record Store Day list. And I mean, originally it was on the July Record Store Day drop.
Oh, well, I are you sure?
I'm looking at my list right now, but I mean, I'm willing to be wrong here.
You're looking at a list that was created like more than 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
I'm saying originally, so you wouldn't have seen it. You wouldn't have seen it in June anyway.
Ah, well, that's a good point. The weird part is though, on Saturday, several copies did make it out into the wild, and actually they're being sold on Discogs right now, and in fact they're being snatched up at about $120 each on Discogs right now. I've been watching all day long. About 5 have sold today on Discogs for about $120 each. The weird part is they're all coming out of Canada, which is kind of weird, right? Here's the other weird thing. If you look at the label of the record, guess what label – when I say label, I mean the paper label on the record itself. Guess what record label is putting this out?
Who?
Rock Hotel and Profile, two labels that don't even exist anymore. Guess what address is listed on the label, which is particularly weird because the original didn't have an address on it.
What, like a Sony?
The old
– Sony Canada?
Wait, hold on. Is it Adam White's house?
Yeah, right. Adam, if you are bootlegging the Age of Quarrel records, probably not good for your health insurance. I'm just saying. No, the address, and honestly, labels don't usually put their address on the paper label of the record. That's weird, you know. 740 Broadway, the old defunct address for Profile Records. So I have no idea what's going on, and Harley has no idea what's going on. Watch out. I won't say what Harley is not happy because he took our article and he posted it online. He said, if I know fans want to get the record, but just be aware that none of us are getting paid from this record. So if you get it, you're not paying any of us or something like that. You know,
I have a question. Is it, I mean, and this is out of left field though. Is it possible people just bought, the regular, whatever pressing that's out there right now, and then just put Record Store Day stickers on it?
Possible, but unlikely, and here's why. Because this record is at the nexus of such conflict, whenever it's pressed, it says that you can't. I mean, if you want to buy a new copy of Age of Quarrel, you can't. The last copies were pressed in 2011 by 2013 by Muddier Than the Sword and Brass City Boss Records, which were both put out by John Joseph. But those are long, long since sold out, and those represses sell for like $100 each online, which is crazy.
Really? I'm going to go see what mine is.
I think you have the 2011 Rock Hotel release, which is worth about $100.
What?
And so
I might actually have a Mightier Than Sword.
Sell it. I mean, sell it. So anyways, this record has been hard to get ever since it came out. This record was never available plentifully, if you will. So back to the question is, did someone find some of those copies and re-sticker them? Probably not, because the sticker – that's a good detective-type question, Ricky, and I appreciate that. to keep us honest. However, the one posted online doesn't say Mighty Thin Sword. It doesn't say Brass City Sound. It says Profile and Rock Hotel. Further, the record, what they call it, the colorway of the record, is unique. I've never seen this colorway before. So, and the label is unique. So this is probably a quote, not a, this is probably a quote new pressing that is was somewhere sitting somewhere. The question was this for sale at the record store, or did this fall out of the back of a truck? Because they're all coming from Canada, I'm going to say they probably fell off the back of a truck.
I'm looking at my copy right now, and it's Brass City.
So let's see. What color is the record, Ricky?
It's just black.
All right, let's see here. Ricky, your record is worth over $100.
Damn.
Jesus.
I didn't even expect that.
That's nice. How in demand this record is, and because I mean, listen, it's arguably the most famous NYHC record ever, and I think it's probably the best NYHC record ever, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but people can't get it, so of course it's an expensive record. I actually, this is how crazy record prices are. I bought my first copy in 2007 at Rasputin in Berkeley for $20. It's now worth about, let's see here, $400.
Jeez.
I can't.
Record prices are insane right now. I mean, honestly, COVID, like, doubled everything. Like, it really did, you know.
I think that's our ongoing conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, like, people were just acquiring records during quarantine. You're probably using, you know, the stimmy money that, you know, people might or might not need. I don't know. But yeah, that's so crazy.
So let's call it right now without any wild guesses. Sam Barrett, The Age of Quora. What will be the end result of this record?
It's going to come out. It's pressed. It's somewhere. I just think that, you know, they have to get the bullshit aside and, you know, hopefully they can figure it out for the fans, not me, because I'm not a Chromatics fan, but, you know, because people want this. Hopefully when it comes out, it will not, you know, people won't flip them on the interwebs, because I've been seeing that happening and that's not cool, but, you know, yeah, I just don't know if it's going to come out in another year or this July. It doesn't look like it's coming out this July. It's not on any list this July.
Go ahead, Ricky. My guess is that these particular copies will continue to fall off backs of trucks and exist as semi-legit copies, as there are many versions semi-legit copies. For example, the one second here. There's the Beef Ain't Over press, semi-legit. Cash Only press, which is semi-legit. Then there was like some, like, it looks like it kind of disappeared. It was like something House press record. They had like a unique that was the Cash Only record, I think. I think that was the John Joseph version was Cash Only. I'm looking right now. The Cash Only record was one of the more obscure semi-legit ones. This particular pressing, I will say, will stay semi-legit, semi-bogus, and eventually Harley will reclaim the record and put out an official version, causing most of the semi-legits to drop in value, but not hit zero, because Chromag collectors are so maniacal, well, that's the wrong word, so crazy for Chromag's records, that the semi-legit ones will always have some sort of a value. Ricky, what's your guess?
I'm hopeful. I think they, I mean, if they act fast, and it seems like Harley is, that they can come to an agreement for the July release. At the same time, if that doesn't happen, they have plenty of time for Black Friday Record Store Day. So I think Black Friday Record Store Day could definitely happen. I'm hopeful that they can pull a miracle for this July, though.
So Ricky, you think this whole dispute will be solved by Thanksgiving?
I think they can do it. I mean, if these things, and they have to know that that these things are being basically leaked, let's be honest, out to the people on Discogs to sell, and they're missing out on that money. You know, they're gonna want to get this out faster, because more are just gonna leak out.
Well, there you have it. Three wildly different proclamations. Sam Barrett, why don't you play a song and we'll come back and you can kick us off with your Record Store Day adventure.
Yeah, sure. So, a part of my Record Store Day adventure, I did go to three record stores, and one of them I did pick up, which was not a Record Store Day release, but I did get it on Record Store Day the day. So many, many moons ago, Texas Is the Reason and The Promise Ring put out a split 7-inch. So I'm going to play the song Blue Boy by Texas Is the Reason.
We're back. Sam, did you have fun on Record Store Day?
Well, yeah, I guess. I guess it's called fun, right? Yeah, like, you know, waking up really early, getting in a car, doing therapy in the car in the middle of Manhattan. And then joining my husband online to buy overpriced records. I guess that's fun. yeah, so we decided to go to Generation Records for two reasons, because we normally go there anyways. Generation Records in New York City has a very special place in my heart, because that was really the first, like, music store that I would go to with my then-boyfriend, now-husband, to buy, like, you know, punk, indie, pop-punk CDs and stuff like that. So they have evolved back to records now. So we go there. We've been going there for a while, and a lot of our early adventures with Record Store Day has been there, with me bringing him coffee, and that is now a part of my ongoing vows to him forever and ever and ever, that I bring him coffee on Record Store Day. So, I know, cute, right?
It's adorable.
Yeah.
You're always adorable.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, the vows was sent to us by Kira, which is our Kira, when we got married. So, you know, it comes full circle. Yeah, so we went there. We were there pretty early, and they were letting people in, like, 10 at a time. We also went there because they had an exclusive for, like, an Agnostic Front 7-inch exclusive to Generation Records. So I had to get that, but that was downstairs, and I had to run downstairs. Anyways, my husband, by the time I got back upstairs, my husband was, like, knee-deep in, like, pushing people over a little bit. he's to try to get records. So I got the Alkaline Trio.
Very nice. That was, like, the big get, at least in our realm.
Yeah, that is a huge get, and apparently from here to Infirmary is going for double the amount that I paid for on Discogs and stuff, and people's been looking for it. Actually, two other people asked me to go grab them one since I was online, and I'm like, I only have two people, so one of you guys got asked out. So I did grab one for a friend. So that's heading to California soon, because that person did not get anything on Record Store Day, apparently. So I did get that, and so I got the Agnostic Front, which is not a Record Store Day exclusive, but, you know, nonetheless got on Record Store Day. And then the Joey Ramone. So I did get those two. So after our purchase, we ran to another record store.
Sam, are you talking about the United Blood Premix?
Yes.
$100 on Discogs.
Oh, God. Don't tell me things like that. Anyways. Yes.
Only 30 sold at Generation Records. What color is your record, Sam?
It's you black. Know? It's black.
All right, let's see here. Sam, your record is worth $159.
But I think there's a red one, like a blood one, and I think I have that one, too.
You have two?
Yeah.
$235, Sam. Sell.
For seven-inch. Jeez.
John, you're so into that. Yeah, so
I feel like
we did...
we're on Wall Street right now.
Yeah, buy
I
and
know,
sell.
Right?
Buy and sell.
So I did run to another record store. So we went to Academy Records, which is down the way from Generation. Hopped in the car, got out. My husband dropped me off. He's looking for parking. I walk in. I look. All pretty much most of the Record Store Day things were gone. I was like, oh my God, it's like not even 12 o'clock and everything is gone. So I walk out. And then my husband parks, and then we go to Limited to One. So if you're ever in New York, there is a record store called Limited to One. They're on 10th or 11th, one of those streets. They have pretty much Discog-priced records, but they have a lot of White Whales in the store. So, you know, if you're looking for something specific, they might have it. So, yes, I did get that Texas Reason Promise Ring 7-inch there. There was a box of things on the ground because, you know, I crate dig sometimes. And it was, I think, some Long Island hardcore dude's collection that he didn't want anymore because I was just, like, going through it. And I was like, there's a lot of hardcore in here. Found this thing and I gave it to my husband and said, do you want this? And he's like, yeah, sure. Apparently, so the song that I just played apparently is the last Texas Reason song that they recorded before they broke up. So it's only available on the 7-inch. I hate 7-inches, by the way, because I
bold take in the punk community, Sam. Bold take.
Very, very, very bold.
Yeah. And I'm living and dying by this statement because I'm too lazy to flip a record, to flip the sides. So now I have another 7-inch to my collection. My husband did grab the Vandals, Live Fast Diarrhea. It is on Explosive Brown Splatter, which I guess makes sense. Diarrhea, you know.
It's cool. Appropriate.
Very appropriate. And the hype sticker actually has a Punk News a quote in it.
What does it say?
Quote, a fast in-your-face album that will put the faith back into the hearts of helpless punkers.
I bet that's a Tom Trauma quote. I will Google it while you two talk and see who wrote that.
That probably is Tom Trauma. But yeah, it's, I guess, very fitting that now it's my house, right? I'm not so much a fan of the Vandals. My husband does like the Vandals. I think I saw them once with Bad Religion because they were like playing this like super mega tour thingy with like a whole bunch of other bands. I forget. It's everything blurs together now. So that's in my house now.
Not a Tom Trauma quote. Vandals really dug deep for this one.
Really?
A 2001 review by somebody called Fathead. They really should have just like asked somebody. I mean, this is a review written in the old punk news style where, you know, I'll be charitable and say it was more a zine style reviews than the style of reviews we do now. You know what I mean? Where people would talk about like what they had for breakfast in the review and stuff, you know?
Well, that's fitting then. I was like, this album, like theoretically this album is quite old. So, you know, go to the OG, pull something from there. I'm just shocked that they picked Punk News of all places.
I'm not shocked. I'm thrilled, honored, and validated.
Yeah. So we got that, and then we also got Plow United Marching Band. This is an alternate screen cover, limited to 50. It was released Record Store Day 2013. Ooh, yeah. So, so it's numbered. It's fancy. It's orange. That I do dig. I do find it nice that I'm getting old Record Store Day things on new Record Store Day. So that was fun. And then my husband picked out NoFX Singles album. It's the Gold with Black and White Splatter. Ooh. Apparently he wanted this variant and not the variant that I bought for him. So I don't know how to feel about that. Maybe he doesn't like me anymore. Oh, well.
Part of the vows.
Yeah, I'm just gonna think that he still likes me and he likes gifts I give him or whatever. But anyways, yeah, so I guess it's either he's upgrading with this thing or we're just going to have multiple copies, which I think we're just going to have multiple copies because it's NoFX and my husband does that with NoFX. So, yeah. So that's all I got.
Well, Sam, sounds like you had a cool adventure.
Yeah, done by one. So that's good.
So Ricky, play a tune and we'll come back and we'll talk about Ricky's adventure.
All right. So my number one, the only release that I wanted for the June Record Store Day drop was the Rage Against the Machine live album. So, and the reason why I wanted it so badly was because Rage puts on an amazing show. I've said this before a long time ago on the podcast. I got to see them in 2011. It was awesome. But what's really cool about this release is they play their single No Shelter live, which is something they haven't done a lot, even though they haven't really been touring since then. But anyway, I'm going to play the song No Shelter by Rage Against the Machine. Here it is.
And that was Rage doing No Shelter. Ricky, do you know where that song first appeared in the Rage Against the Machine discography?
I do. It was the Godzilla movie from like 1999.
Correct. Interesting place for that song to first appear. So Ricky, tell us about your extra day adventure, which was non-conventional.
Yeah. So just to preface though, I did go to I haven't been on the podcast in a while, but I did go to Amoeba Hollywood's reopening at their their opening day at their new location. So I did stand in line for that. So it's not like I've been slacking.
How's the new Amoeba? Is the new Amoeba cool?
It's awesome. It's still the same thing. It's just a little bit more compact, but the whole selection's there. It's cleaner. It's slick. It's sleeker. It's more decorated. And it took a little while to like kind of figure out the lay of it because I was so used to going there and going directly to the punk section, but it was kind of hard to find at first. But everything is still there. There's really nothing to worry about. It's still the mecca of record stores. And then also this week I was down in Orange County, so I made it to Radiation Records. And then actually yesterday on Sunday I was at Amoeba.
Ricky, how's Radiation?
And checking it out.
How's Radiation Records? I've ordered from them a couple of times, mail order, and it's always a mixed bag order. I mean, like they've got like online, they've got a lot of really cool stuff. But then, like, if you order from them, there's only, like, a 50% chance you're going to get what you ordered. Like, in my experience, like, they never ship it out, and you got to harass them, like, three times. Or if you go online and you find something that's, like, rare and you buy it, and you're like, oh, this is totally underpriced. Then it'll sit there for, like, a month, and you follow up with them, and the guy's like, oh, I couldn't find that record, so I'll just ship everything else but that record. So
yeah.
What's been your experience at Radiation Records, Ricky?
So I only go – I'm only in Orange County because I'm pretty far away from there. Like it's like a good hour and a half drive, but it's L.A. driving. It's like 60, 70 miles away, I think. If you go there, it's awesome. I've never done – I can't speak to mail order because I've never done mail order from them. But it is such – it's a tight – little record store in a strip mall, and it's like 80% punk rock, 10% new wave, and 10% metal, and that's it. These guys don't do record store day, but they have these bins towards the cash register, and it's only just chef's kiss vintage stuff. I've gotten so many good things from there, and then also they have some great stuff on their walls too. But I got the Dead Kennedys Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables orange cover there. That's the first pressing with Police Truck on it. I recently got End Hits by Fugazi on the gray vinyl, the original press with the gatefold and gray vinyl. So there's a lot of good, you can find a lot of good stuff there. But again, I've never done any mail order from there, but I really try not to do mail order because I want to go down there and do the digging. It's about finding the stuff, and it's about the hunt, you know. Yesterday I went to Amoeba just because hadn't been in a little while, so I went anyway. In terms of my actual record store day, I only wanted the Rage Against the Machine, Battle of Mexico City live album. But I was willing to let it go because I'm not going to stand in line for something that for just one thing. And I get to Amoeba like 11 p.m. the day before or the night before. So it's just brutal if I go.
If you go to Amoeba, you get there at 11 p.m. the night before?
Yep.
Do you like bring a chair and snooze or what do you do?
I would bring a chair. I'd bring like a jacket. I just load up on podcasts and bring like an extra battery. I'd bring like some like caffeinated like iced tea or something like that, or like cold tea, maybe some snacks, and just kind of wait for like the worst part of it, which is like between like 3:45 to 5 in the morning. It's when like you're just not sure if you're. You know, you're just, you can't stay awake, but you can't fall asleep, and you're just in that awful kind of middle ground. So I think last time I did it, I got like an hour of sleep, but I was out by like 9 a.m. and home by not like 9:30.
And how, if you get there at 11, how many people are in front of you?
50 or 60.
Damn!
Oh my God, I can't.
Yeah.
That was the same thing that I saw pictures of Rough Trade. They in New York, they moved to like by Rockefeller, and it was like lines, just lines.
Oh, I mean, you guys should have been. I mean, it was crazy for opening that opening day. Like, I got I don't really. There's nothing like special about that's coming out on Amoeba. It's just there. I mean, there's nothing like special releases that day. It was just to go in and see what it's all about. I was in line at like I think I got there at like 9 a.m. It was three blocks long. It was city blocks long. I didn't get inside until 2:45 because remember we're talking COVID and stuff. So I don't get into I don't get into like 2. I find an awesome Ramones record. I got Brain Drain, like an original press off the wall. That's all I wanted. And then I they gave out like free posters, which was fine. I framed that recently. And then but I didn't get out of the store till 3:45. It was a 6 hour. It was like over 6 hour day. It was probably just about 6 hours or more, or a little bit more. So
Ricky, were you like having fun and talking to people in line, or were people in line like total basement dwellers?
You know, every time you do, I mean, that's record stores, man. It's a mixed bag. So I was talking with one guy, but I was also surrounded by basement dwellers. That's just how it goes. You know, it's a mixed bag. But anyway, so my record store day, there was just more stuff in July that I want. So I'll probably go to Amoeba and do the proper record store day like routine next month. But so what happened was I just kind of was scrolling, looking at like eBay, and the Flippers, of course, had it. And there were like 12,000 copies of this Rage Against the Machine record. So I'm like, there's no way that these are going to stay, get these high prices for a long time. So I'm like, all right, fine. If I have to wait, I'll wait. And then a miracle happened, and Smart Punk Records, which I guess also have they're a label. They have their online distro, and then they have a brick and mortar store out, I think, in Florida. And they said, hey, we just dropped our extras. And I look through and I see they have 10 copies of it. And I went, yes. And so I placed an order, and it should be coming soon. So I got it. And then, but there's now a twist, and I'm not 100% sure on this, so don't quote me, but I'm a part of a one or two record like Facebook groups. So like everyone's talking about what they got and stuff like that. And I start reading someone's posts about the Rage record. And apparently, this is just from comments I've been reading, apparently a good amount of the songs are actually censored, which I am not thrilled about.
Yeah, it's annoying.
If that's true, it was not specified on the Record Store Day site. So that kind of sucks. But anyway, I did have my Record Store Day miracle.
Wait, is it bleeped every 5 seconds?
I have no idea. Yeah, exactly. I have no idea. I've been reading. I've been getting different accounts that like Killing in the Name isn't censored, but there are other songs that are, or all of them are. So I'm not clear on it yet. I'm going to spin it though when it comes and just see what the deal is. And also it's a double album, and lo and behold, guess what? It isn't. It's Life? Not a gatefold. It's not a gatefold. So it's one of those kind of awkward double disc with like a single sleeve kind of deal. So whatever.
It's tight.
Yes, exactly. So overall, like I'm happy I got it, but like I didn't. There are a couple things I wish they had mentioned on the site before I pressed buy. But I'm glad I didn't get a flipper price. Like the last Rage Against the Machine live record that they put out a year or two ago for Record Store Day. So overall, successful. Next month, I'm hoping I have a few. I don't know if we're gonna go over what we're gonna want next month, but I'll be doing it all in July.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll do that at the end, actually, Ricky. We should do that. Good point.
There's something about like records being censored. Like even if it's not bleeped, it's just like, you know, silent or whatever. It's like so like not that I needed to hear the F word. I've heard the F word before, but there is something that's like just so annoying about that. You know what I mean? It's like. It ruins a song, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if it's something streaming or even digital, like if you have both versions, a censored and uncensored version, I can wrap my head around this. I'm like putting, you know, not a lot of money, but like a decent amount of money into this record, and I'd like to have the full art effect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, what's funny is that like hip hop records in the late 80s, instead of like bleeping it, they would often just have the guy like re-rap on it, and so it's like so funny. It'll be like on like NWA, like on F the Police, they just put like a funny sound effect, or there's a Scarface record where it's like, I'll put a shotgun at your ass, and he's like, I'll give you a shock, but I won't let you pass. Or it's like what? No. Anyways, I had a pretty fun record store day. There was nothing that I really, really, really had to have except for the Joey Ramone record. But that's actually, let's check it out, because I was pretty sure that you'd be able to get that online. Most Ramone stuff you can get online after record store day if you don't get it as a thing. So I went down to – I started my day off down at Electric Avenue in Westchester. Actually, 30, 40 bucks online. That's a little expensive, you know, but not like insanely expensive. So anyways, I went down to Electric Avenue in Westchester, which is usually my two go-to place for record store day because it's close to my house. It's easy to get to, and they are usually pretty good at getting pretty much everything, honestly, particularly because he often gets the rare Alice Cooper stuff, which I love. So I got there at about 5:15, and honestly, there's about 10 people in front of me, and usually when I get there at 5:15, there's usually about 5 people in front of me. So it was a little bit busier than usual. And actually, by the time they opened it, like, the line was exceptionally long. What I will say is usually when I get down, like, I wasn't, like, super excited about a lot of stuff, but I said, it'll be fun. I'll go down there, and I'll hang out, and I'll talk to people, and, you know, just have a nice time. I get down there, man, like, it must be me. I'm talking to the guy to the left of me. He doesn't want to talk. You know, I'm like, oh, man, so what are you excited to get? And he's like, Clapton. And that's, like, all he said. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, Clapton, man. It's like,
yeah, there are a lot of those, man. Record collectors are, like, a weird crowd.
And then I look to my right. I'm like, yeah, man. So it's like, yeah, man, it's busier than it usually is, isn't it? And the guy goes, I don't know. You know? like beggars can't be – like, usually when I go to Electric Avenue, it's usually, like, dad collectors, which – I'm going to be a dick here, like, can be really annoying because they're like, oh, did you hear, like, the 2009 pressing mix of Sgt. Pepper? Oh, you know, I'm not thrilled about the bass, like the bass trombone on the, I'm like, are you for real? Like, how many copies of Sgt. Pepper do you need that you're worrying about the bass trombone sound on this, you know what I mean? Or they'll do, this drives me up the wall. Like, back in the day, before Wikipedia and before the internet, like, music rumors would kind of get out of control. It's like, yeah, I heard Johnny stole Linda Ramone from Joey. That's why they hate each other. And so Joey held a gun at Johnny, which only half of that story is true. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Yeah. Or maybe none of it's really true, you know? But, like, they'll just tell stories like that, you know? But, like, they'll tell stories that I know are inaccurate just because they'd rather have fun with this fiction than just look a stupid thing up on Wikipedia or read a stupid interview. You know what I mean? And it drives me up the wall. I'm like, oh my, I'm like, you, like, they're going on and on and on about, like, you know, is Brian Johnson's voice recorded backwards on the Let It Bleed out? The answer is no, it's not. It's an urban rumor that doesn't exist, you know. But they're like, I think it's there. The other guy's like, no, I think it's not there. You know, go on Wikipedia. It's not there. Listen to what you're saying, you know. But beggars can't be choosers, and I'm like, oh my god, what I would not give to be hanging out with those guys right now, which are about 15 people up, you know what I mean? Instead, I'm like, oh yeah, man, he's like, Clapton. I'm like, oh, so are you a big Clapton fan? I guess, you know? So, yeah, so anyways, I'm like, oh, so what I did, whenever I'm waiting in line at the record store day, I always bring, like, work to do it, and I never, ever, 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 ever do it. But this time I did it because I got two basement dwellers on either side of me, you know. And bizarrely, I was like bizarrely at 5:30 in the morning. I'm like bizarrely focused and I'm doing all this work. I'm like, wow, this is great. I should do this every Saturday morning. I haven't reviewed my work yet, so we'll see how. So anyways, I get in and what they did at Electric Avenue, the guy is fairly concerned about COVID and rightfully so. And so the way they do it, actually. This is the first time he did it indoor. Last year, you drove up with your car and they came out and they said, what do you want? And they bring it to your car, which was cool for COVID. Now he had it back in the store, but it was social distance more or less. Not really, though, honestly. And basically, you get in a line and the first person gets first dibs. Second person gets second dibs, which, if you ask me, that is the way to do it for record store day. A lot of people say, well, that's not going to a record store. Yeah, 364 days of the year, you can go to the record store and run in and elbow people and grab shit, you know? But honestly, I'm too old for dudes to be shoving their armpits in my face and stealing Joey Ramone records from me while I've got it in my hands. You know what I mean? So on record store day, I'm 100% behind. First person line gets first dibs. Second person line gets second dibs. I'm over the madhouse charge, you know? So anyways, they did have –
there was nothing I really, really wanted to have, I guess, except for the Jerry Ramone record, which I got, which looks cool. And I will say, a lot of these record store days thing, they clearly just scanned the CD and then, like, blew it up for the cover. The cover is very fuzzy, which is a little annoying. And for $28, I would you do want a little bit more quality. Like, record store day prices are premium prices. And so, all right, listen, you guys want to overprice records. I get it. That's fine. But, you know, at least do a good job. You know, the record sounds good, but the cover is clearly just blown up. And, you know, but, you know, a lot of people just don't care. And honestly, like, I care, but I don't care not to not buy. I don't care enough not to buy the record, you know, so whatever. Here's one record that is really, really cool. There's a record called Regimental Saint Zippo, which is reportedly Elton John's first record that was shelved and never released. That's a lie. And I was annoyed by the lie. What it really is they took some unreleased early singles by Elton John, some demos, and they fleshed them out with some additional sound effects to create an album that never existed in the first place. So it's not really an unreleased album. What it is, it's demos and stray tracks reworked to be made into an album. That being said, it's actually a really, really neat album. They basically tried to make an Elton John album that sounds like Elton John was trying to rip off Sgt. Pepper. And you would think that would suck, but it's awesome. It's actually a really, really good record that I enjoy quite a bit. If you like Elton, if you like psychedelic garage rock, psychedelic pop, you will dig this record. It's actually a really, really interesting and good record, and kind of the exact thing that Record Store Day should be, if you ask me. Kind of oddity, interesting records that maybe not everybody wants, but would be cool to check out. The next thing I got was Sublime meets Mad Professor and Scientist, which is a really cool record. Scientist is a 80s Jamaican dub producer from the 80s, and he did a lot of famous dubs of stuff recorded by the Roots Radix bands and June Joe and all. So he's like a famous dub guy. And then the other side is Mad Professor, who's a famous English dub guy. He's more late 80s, early 90s from England. And so on the first side, Scientist does dub versions of three Sublime tracks. And on the flip side, Mad Professor does dub versions of three different Sublime tracks. And honestly, it's very cool. It's exactly what you think it would be, and it's exactly what it's, you know, suggested to be, and that it's really just two sides of Sublime dub done by two famous but significantly different dub artists, and it's really cool. And only $22, which at Record Store Day is a steal. So that was a really cool release. What else I got is I'm an idiot. I mean, I'm such a sucker. They put out a Joe Strummer 12-inch. On the A side is him doing Junko Partner. Ricky, do you know what's on the B side?
Oh, isn't it like – is that the one where they're like being interviewed?
No, that's next time. On the B side is him doing Junko Partner. One side is the acoustic version and one side is the live version. And
I was about to say that.
Like, listen, there's already three versions of Joe Strummer doing a Junko Partner. Now there's five. I mean, I'm going to listen to this like once. But I bought it anyway because I'm a sucker and I'm a huge Clash fan. I bought it. So I got to say, I mean, I bought it, but it doesn't make you feel good about Record Store Day or even how the Clash is how the Strummer family is handling the Strummer estate. I mean, I think they could have dug deeper and gotten some more interesting. I know they could have because I've got some interesting bootlegs, you know.
To that effect, I've one thing just to add.
Oh, go ahead.
Because you're talking about the Joey Ramone album, but there, you know, they've been the last few years, including this year, they've been really pushing like live Ramones albums for Record Store Day. They did one a couple of years, at least two years ago, where like it was a double album. It had like a yellow cover, and there were still a bunch of them left when I you know went back to the store like a month later, and then this year I think they're doing one too. I don't know what's going on there, but they're really really pushing those. And I only have one Ramones live album. I don't need like a bunch of them, you know.
Ricky, this is where you and I disagree. I actually am loving these Ramones live albums because they're each coming from successive tours. They have different set lists, and as we know, the Ramones changed their lineup. The Ramones aren't thought of the band that changed their lineup a lot, but they really kind of did. They changed their lineup like every two albums after the first three classics, you know.
If they had a live record with like, you know, them towards the end with like CJ and stuff like that, I can definitely agree with that for sure. I haven't seen one yet.
I that would be cool. Maybe they're working their way up to there, maybe not. But I do dig that the
There have been a lot of Ramones bootlegs floating around, and they sound like crap. Don't buy them. I'm glad they're putting out – I think what they're trying to do is kind of saturate the market with official stuff and, like, knock out the bootleg, which I'm all for. Gotcha. And I do dig how these Ramones records they're putting out – a lot of them are actually just taken from the Mega Deluxe box sets, but I don't mind. I am glad that these have unique set lists and have songs that were later dropped from the Ramones set list. So I dig them. Something else that I got that was really, really cool.
That's a good point.
It's this record, Sly and Robbie versus Rich Radix, The Final Battle. And this is a weird thing. In 2019, some dude in, like, Argentina, like, commissioned this record, and he only made, like, 300 copies, which is weird. If you don't know Sly and Robbie are one of the most famous drum and bass and producers in all of Jamaican music. Rich Radix are arguably the most famous backing band in all of Jamaican music. So I mean, honestly, and they were at their most famous in the 80s. They're not really that famous now, but they're highly respected. So this dude in Argentina, like, commissioned this record of all – I don't know why, and he only made like 300 copies, which is weird. So for Record Store Day, they made a wide release version, and it's really cool. It's Sly and Robbie and the Rich Radix, and every track has a different singer: Lee Scratch Perry, Max Romeo, Ken Booth, The Congos, Michael Rose of Black Uhuru, Freddie McGregor, Mighty Diamonds, Horace Andy, Toots of the Maytals, Luciano. A lot of times, I guess, older guys get back together records can be crappy. It's not. It's a really, really good record, and I'm really glad they came out. It's a fantastic – well, not fantastic, but it's a very good reggae record that I had low expectations for, but turned out being really good. Just a couple last ones here. Oh, I got Tom Tom Club, The Good, The Bad, and The Funky. I just picked this up on a whim. I wasn't planning on getting it, but I saw it, and I mean, I've always liked the Tom Tom Club, but I recently really got into them. It's the first release of the record from 2000 on vinyl. It's only been on CD before. Very good record, very interesting, and I'm glad it's out on vinyl. It's just kind of a cool thing to have on vinyl because it sounds good and it's a good album. I also bought, to parallel with the Ramones the bootleg conversation that we had, I got Iggy Pop Live at Channel Boston. Actually, I'll talk about that in a minute. So I went to Electric Avenue, and then I zipped on down to Good Boy Records, Good Boy Records, down in Delaware, because they had 20% off everything, and I got some cassettes and some random stuff. Then I shot on over to Jupiter Records in Wilmington, Delaware, because they were having, for the dollar records, they were having 10 for a dollar instead of 1 for a dollar. And so in the event that we have another Punk News event, we always give away free records. So listener, I did this for you. I got 200 $1 records, but for 10 cents each. And so at the next Punk News event, if there is another Punk News event and we hand out free records, I got a lot of really cool and really funny records, like How to Do Ventriloquism, Jane Fonda's Aerobics, Care Bears Adventures, Elvis, Ray Charles. So a lot of really good and really funny records. Ukrainian folk songs from the 1850s, you know, like a lot of interesting, weird stuff. So if you come to the next Punk News event, that's where those records come from. They're really cool. Then at 1:10, when I'm walking out the door, I got a message, and it said, Schoolie D's playing at Creep Records in Philadelphia at 2 o'clock. Listeners might not know who Schoolie D is. Schoolie D is a regional, but I guess important, Philadelphia rapper from the early 80s to mid 80s, and he's still around. And I didn't even know he did live stuff anymore. He's got his first album is his most famous one, and he's got a bunch of famous songs on that record. Well, not famous songs, but a bunch of highly respected hip hop songs on that record, including Gucci Time, PSK, What Does It Mean, and a whole bunch of other tracks. We're going to play a Schoolie D song in a minute or two, but Schoolie D is extremely important because Ice-T, Public Enemy, NWA, and the Beastie Boys all cite him as an influence. And if you listen, I'm going to play Gucci Time, you're going to hear the direct influence on Beastie Boys, NWA, Ice-T, and on this one song alone. And they've all given due credit to Schoolie D. So he's kind of one of these forgotten guys that probably doesn't quite get his due. And so I'm like, wow, Schoolie D. I almost didn't go down there because I had a car full of records. I didn't necessarily want to park in Philadelphia in the summer and with a shitload of records in my computer. My car's just hanging out there. But I'm like, oh, I'm not going to go. I'm like, I got to do it. I'm always going to regret it. I'm like, but man, you got all these records that might melt. You don't want somebody to break into your car. I'm like, I got to do it smart. Just do it smart, man. I'm like, fine, I'll do it. So I zip on down to Philadelphia. I get there like 5 minutes beforehand. there's an Acme near Creep Records that I parked in the Acme parking lot, and they're like, if you park here and, you know, you're not coming to Acme, we'll tow your car. So I go into Acme and I like buy a bottle of water, and then I like put the bag in my car. I'm like, well, I hope I don't get towed, you know. And so I run over to Creep Records, and it turns out the school D's like an hour late anyways because he's caught in traffic. So I bought Iggy Pop live at the Channel Boston. And what happens is for Record Store Day, about four or five times now, they've been putting out these live Iggy Pop records, which were recorded in the 80s and were issued by Revenge Records in France. They're all semi-legit, the CD version. And honestly, like, the 80s Iggy Pop was cool, but it's not as fine as our, you know. And so I'm like, well, do I need to be spending $35 on a record? I've already got the CD version that I spent $2 on at Princeton Record Exchange. And somehow I always keep up buying them because I'm like, well, it's Iggy. It's you know, how many times can you listen to the Stooges? The answer is a lot. You can listen to the Stooges a lot. But you don't want to burn out on Iggy. So you're like, well, I'll get some of his stuff from the 80s and 90s. And it won't be as good as the Stooges, but it'll be different. And it is different. And, you know, the band doesn't hit as hard. But, you know, it's got tracks like Cold Metal, Squarehead, 5'1", Easy Rider. So a lot of tracks that you don't often hear with the Stooges. Well, you never hear with the Stooges. And also, for some reason, in his solo stuff, he does a lot of stuff from Kill City, the Iggy Pop James Williamson set. So I do kind of feel like a sucker buying these because I've got the CDs, which are $2 each. But the records do look cool and they sound really good. So I don't know, man. I'm on the fence, but they're kind of cool. But I also bought Schoolie D. I didn't know that Schoolie D put out a 12-inch single called The Real Hardcore, which is his first vinyl release in 20 years, and it's got Chuck D and Ice-T on it, which is really cool. And the scratches are by DJ Code Money, which is his DJ from way back in the day. And it's extremely rad, and I'm like, wow, Schoolie D is kind of back. And I'm like, but I'm like, he's probably going to suck, you know, I mean, because, you know, a lot of times older artists aren't that good. Schoolie D shows up, right, and he's one of the, like, he's probably the original gangster rapper, but he's not like gangster in that like he drives around in Lambos and has like strippers in it. You know, he's more gangster, at least back in the day. It's like he doesn't have that much money, so he's going to make money the way he can, and he's a tough guy. And so Schoolie D shows up, and it is still Schoolie D from 1986. He's jacked as hell. He's got the high top fade. He's got the giant Gucci glasses on, right? He's got the gold chain around his neck. I'm like, holy shit, this guy stepped out of 1986, you know? And he's like smiling and he's laughing. And he did like six tracks. And it was all, I'm like, oh my God, Schoolie D is so awesome. Like, it's so cool when an older artist that you think might not be good, like, just shows up. And it's still the dude from like, I'll give an example. A while on the podcast, we were talking about Crisis and Tony Wakeford. And on Crisis, the album, like, you see, like, the skinny-looking, severe-looking guys. Like, oh, man, you know, Crisis, he looks badass. He looks scary. He looks like he stepped out of the German, you know, impressionism film, you know. And then, like Crisis put out a new album. You're like, oh, wow. And you see a picture of him. It looks like he just stepped out of, like, the Dungeons & Dragons convention. You know, you're like, oh, man, you know. Schoolie D showed up. It's school. Even though he's, you know, like, 60 or 55, he's still Schoolie D from 1986, and he rocked the house and was so awesome. And honestly, that's why Creep Records is fantastic. It's your record store, but they also have like these cool one-off events, which was totally rad. And so I'm gonna play Schoolie D's 1986 classic, looking at my Gucci. It's about that time.
Yo, Schoolie cousin, what's up, man? What's up with the record business?
Man, I think I'm gonna have to beat somebody up, man. They always be fighting my shit, man. You know, man, they just fighting, man.
Man, I told you how them niggas are, man. They ain't nothing but square.
Oh, man, that's what they is.
Looking at my Gucci, it's about that time. But it's a school to get to start humming the rhyme. I heard you was out there writing my lines. And if I catch you, boy, your ass is mine. You're always in my face saying, Scoolie, Scoolie, man. How the fuck
did you get so cool, man? Never ever seen you play no fool. Cause I use a microphone like a plumber uses a tool. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and looking at my Gucci, it's about that time. Dance is cool and you can start humming the rhyme. I heard you was out there writing my lines. And if I catch you, boy, your ass is mine. You're always in my face saying, schoolie, school, man. How the fuck did you get so cool, man? Never ever seen you play a fool. Cause I use a microphone like a plumber uses a tool. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and. It's a good deal, I'm on the beat box. I never had a party that I didn't rock. I never met a girl till we hit in the world. I never met a dude that wasn't too cool. Never been stopped at the T.O.P. Don't even try to fuck with it's a Schoolie D. $2 bitches, all my bitches. Sucker MCs hanging out with the bitches. Rhyme so delicious, rap so vicious. Find me a wife to do my dishes. I keep you in stitches, you're hanging in bitches. No ink, no ash, no bus, no bitches. I eat sandwiches, my best friend bitches. Based on fat, not based fictitious. Looking at my Gucci, it's about that time. Fancy schoolie, did you start humming the rhyme? I heard you was out there writing my lines. And if I get you, boy, your ass is mine. You're always in my face saying, schoolie, school, man. How the fuck did you get so cool, man? Never ever seen you play the fool. I use a microphone like a plumber uses a tool. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and F-E-C-K-I-N-G. Toss in the chain, does it get a tree? Adam and Eve, birds and the bees. Everybody do up like a sucker MC. Roxanne did it, the UTFO. Oh, why the sucker niggas now follow the hoe? I tell you, baby doll, can you beat me in the black? We do it from the front and we do it from the back. But don't do it if the niggas are sly. Man, got no job, think it down with the mob. Cause the only thing you do is gonna call you don't knob, everybody. Turn, but the only thing you get is burn, baby, burn. Looking at my Gucci, it's about that time. This is cool to do the star humming the rhyme. I heard you was out there playing my lines. And if I catch you, boy, your ass is mine. You're always in my face saying, schoolie, school, man. How the fuck did you get so cool, man? Never ever seen you play the fool. Cause I use a microphone like a plumber uses a tool. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and Bye-bye Black Sheep was a little more. It was bad cause she couldn't sell no more. Gave for a dollar to make her scream and holler. We had a little fun and she made me wanna call. Reached in my pocket, pulled out my gun. Shot the fifth in the head, motherfucker fell dead. And now she in jail on a 10-year bid. Looking at my Gucci, it's about that time. Fancy schoolie did start humming the rhyme. I heard you was out there biting my lines. And if I catch you, boy, your ass is mine. You're always in my face saying, schoolie, school, man. How the fuck did you get so cool, man? Never ever seen you play the fool. Cause I use a microphone like a plumber uses a tool.
And we are back, and that was my Record Store Day adventure. Let's wrap this up, and let's briefly talk about things that we are or not interested in for the next record store day, which is in July. Ricky, what's your opinion of the two-day banger, and is there something you're interested in July?
I mean, here's the thing. The drops make this difficult, because especially for me this year, because I only wanted one thing in June, and then I have like a good amount of things that I want in July. So this is a bigger project than it really needs to be, I think, at least. Unless they would like split them into different like days with different genres, like their days were genre specific, that would make things, I think, a little easier. In terms of the July drop, my number one is Fear the Record. I don't have that album. I want it, and they keep repressing it like crazy. But I think, this is the one to get for the Record Store Day one, because it also comes with another set with a 7-inch as well. And there's 3,500, so I'm feeling pretty good about that one. The second most is the Cro-Mags one, but there's a big question mark there number three, the Lillingtons have a 20th anniversary reissue, the Back Channel Broadcast. So there's only 641 of those apparently, which is an odd number for this, but, that's a thing that I hope to get. Apparently, and this is cool, but I don't have to have this, but there's a 3-inch coming out of Weird Al's Beat on the Brat cover. Apparently, there's going to be 1,500 of those. And if I can get a 3-inch record, I'm just for the novelty, I will definitely get it. And then I was actually just reading through that the new Ramones one that we were talking about. And I got to tell you, John, he sold it pretty well. And then I read the description, and it has a bunch of live, you know, a lot of tracks that they didn't play later on. So, and this is from 1980. From the End of the Century tour. So that's actually, this might be a good one to get. And there's like 6,000, but the description says 13,000. So that one shouldn't be hard to get either. I'm feeling pretty good. Hoping for the Cro-Mags. If not, fine. But Fear, for me, the number one is the Fear record, because that is a classic. And for some reason, I've never been able to get it. Though when I was at Amoeba, I think yesterday, they did have a first press for like $100 on the wall, and I couldn't do it.
Of Cro-Mags?
No. Fear, but they did have an Age of Coral one on the wall as well. But it was a red pressing. Do you know about that one?
Yeah, that's the 2011 Mightier Than the Sword press.
Yeah, they wanted a good amount for that too.
Yeah,
probably. There was also a Misfits record that was like $750 there too. It was crazy. Yeah.
You know, Ricky, I to this day, when I was at the first time, I, not the first time, the second time ever I went to Amoeba, they had Nervous Breakdown on the wall for $150, original press. I'm like, $150 bucks for a record? That's insane! It's like a $5,000 record now.
Which Amoeba was that?
Amoeba, San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, the trick with Amoeba and a lot of the bigger record stores is look at the walls first.
Right.
Always do that. You have Definitely. To, or else you're going to miss the best stuff.
Sam, how about you? You looking forward to anything?
So, not really. The only thing that I doubt we're going to be waiting in line next time around. I would like to sleep. That would be nice. I do have an eye on the Eternal Sunshine soundtrack. Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind is one of my favorite movies, and I have been known to grab some of the soundtracks from Record Store Day, so that's 2,500, so yeah. If I find it, I find it. If not, then, you know, whatever, it's fine. Maybe the Lillingtons. Don't think that I want to wait online for that. We'll see what happens. I don't know. If Generation drops more exclusive things to their store, then they lure us in, then maybe I'll show up there at some point during the day. Hopefully my husband and I will just go out to a record store and just spend money. I think that's the point of Record Store Day, not necessarily all of this stuff, this overpriced stuff. But, you know, meh, it's Record Store Day. They always find a way to get me to spend money. I can't anymore.
I think there's some pretty cool stuff coming out for July. Namely, I am psyched on that Ramones record. I definitely want to get that because the track list is, like, pretty cool. So
Where'd you see the track list?
I lied. I'm like, they advertise it as a bunch of tracks from End of the Century. I haven't seen the track list yet. Although maybe I did somewhere. We might be able to figure it out right now. I'm going to look on Discogs while I'm going to keep talking about some of the other stuff, because if we follow the path, it'll be the songs that were on the Mega Deluxe reissue. And so the Mega Deluxe reissue – maybe they didn't do a Mega Deluxe reissue for End of the Century. I think maybe they didn't. So – and yeah, it looks like they didn't. So who knows? But it's probably going to be some stuff from End of the Century that they didn't do afterwards. Like, Chinese Rocks, I Can't Make It On Time. This is just me guessing. Do you remember Rock and Roll Radio? Danny Says. Anyways, I'm thinking it's going to be cool because the last one they put out, the New Year's Eve one, had a lot of cool and unusual tracks on it. I'm also very interested in the Selector Live in 1979. I don't think there's a whole – it's a BBC session. I don't think there are a whole lot of, like, quality live Selector tracks. So it'll just be cool to have kind of this one 12-inch single disc record of Selector Live. Only 1,500 copies, so that's probably going to be kind of hard to find. I'm also interested – I'm not dying to have this, but the Beastie Boys are putting out a 12-inch version of Aglio e Olio. I've got the original 12-inch, and I also have the original CD, and I also have the very rare original Australian double 7-inch lathe cut, which has a bonus track, Light My Fire. The problem with lathe tracks is they sound like crap. The new 12-inch that's coming out on July has the bonus track Light My Fire on 12-inch. So if it's a reasonable price, I'll probably pick that up just because I'm a Beastie Boys maniac and it looks cool. One thing, Hawkwind is putting out a double LP called Greasy's Trucker's Party. That is taken from a 2-CD set that has 3 bands. I think it's Can, The Man Band, and Hawkwind or something like that. So I have all these songs. Do I need a double LP of these songs that I already have on CD? Kind of not. You know, if it's $35, I might get it, but if it's like $45 or $50, I'm gonna pass. You know,
record John, it's Hawkwind. You're gonna buy it.
I know. Well, I just get that Iranian record, so you know, I'm probably gonna get the Clash If Music Could Talk, but I'm gonna feel like an idiot getting it because it's just an interview disc.
That's the interview one. Okay.
Yeah. And some songs from Sandinista. So basically, I'm paying for songs that I already have original press on vinyl, and like clips of Paul, Joe, and Mick talking about them. It's like, I'm going to feel like an idiot, and I'm still going to get it, you know?
Why are you doing this to yourself, dude?
I don't know, because I'm an idiot. Beat on the Brat by Weird Al, that looks very cool.
Yeah,
that looks very cool. I'm going to try to snatch that up. So anyways, I'm giving Record Store Day a thumbs up. I think they're a little overpriced, but... And well, if that does keep record stores afloat, which I'm not sure that does, honestly, then that's all right with me. But, you know. Well, anyways.
Yeah.
Sam Barrett, listen, thanks for rapping about records with us.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
Ricky, thanks for coming on again. And listen, man, don't make yourself a stranger.
Hey, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This is always a blast. And, thanks again, and I'll see you in the comments of Naval Gazing.
Sounds good. All right, listener, we will see you on Friday morning. You can always reach the podcast at punknews.org, and we'll see you later.
Got me the strangest woman. Believe me, this chick's no cinch, but I really get her going when I take out my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. Plays the blues. She just loved my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. Last night I tried to tease her. I gave her a little pinch. But she said, now stop that jiving and get out that big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. where the band is playing the blues. She just loves my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. I cover her with kisses when we're in a lover's clinch. And when she gets all excited, she begs for my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. Well, the band that plays the blues. She just loves that big 10-inch record of her favorite blues. Smoking and liquor just makes her flinch. See, she just goes for nothing except my big 10-inch record of the band that plays the blues. Well, the band that plays the blues. She just loves my big 10-inch record of her favorite blues.